So welcome to season two of the Santam Ensure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And me, Mapalo Maku. We invite you to join our money conversations and use these discussions as both motivation and information to kickstart your own personal financial journey.
Now, in our last podcast, right, we spoke to Tokozane, that budgeting superhero, about how she manages her daily expenses and how she stays disciplined and on track. And Mapalo, I just want to say to the listeners, if any of them want inspiration, they really need to go back and listen to that episode. Really worthwhile. But today we want to discuss how to prepare your budget to become a homeowner.
Absolutely, Maya. And buying your first home is such a big decision. It's such a big moment. And you want to make sure that you're doing right. And so this year, one of your mentees is in the process of buying a home. And she has put an offer to purchase. And today we are discussing how is she going about it. So it's practical today, right?
Very practical. And she's such a great example of somebody who set herself up for success. You know, and I think we've discussed this in the previous season about how people rush into home ownership without really making sure that they're ready for it. And in this case, she's really got herself into a good position. So just to give a little background, she's currently renting and the landlord is looking to sell the property. So she's been given an opportunity to put in an offer. She's been sticking to her budget, so she knows exactly what her expenses are, what it's costing her to live every month, where she can cut back if she needs to in order to take on home ownership. So she's currently paying 9,000 Rand in rent and 700 Rand on electricity. Her waters and levies are included in her rent. Okay, so once she becomes a homeowner, she's going to have to consider the costs of water and levies. And I think that's something, those are sort of numbers that people forget. So she has sat down and she's redone her budget. She's asked for the levies statements. So she has a really good understanding. She's looked at the water so that she's updated her budget to include all of those costs. So then she's put in an offer for 750,000, which will be a repayment of 7,600 Rand a month, plus the levies and all of the rest of it, plus maintenance. So basically, once we add in all those other costs, she's looking at about 12,000 Rand a month in order to be a homeowner. Yes. That's what's going to cost her. We looked at it and yes, it'll be a little tight. She may have to give up a couple of extra cappuccinos, but it's definitely affordable for her.
And my, what I love about what you just said is that she's not rushing into the decision. It's not an emotional decision. It's saying, this is what I'm currently paying. How much more responsibility am I going to take on? And she is really looking at the numbers. And normally we don't do that.
No, we don't, because you know what? We buy with our hearts,
yes,
right? Not with our heads. And in her, she's actually, there's a great opportunity for her because she's been living in the property. So she knows what's wrong with it. She knows what needs to be fixed, which is why she knows what offer to make. She's gone in a little bit lower than they want because she knows the things that need to be repaired. And she's putting in, you know, she's budgeting for that as well. So I think that is a very, going in and running the numbers and letting the numbers tell you whether it's a good decision or not.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that she should be doing beyond looking at her own budget? For example, now you're a homeowner, you are part of the home association perhaps. What are the things you should be asking before you sign on the dotted line?
First thing I said to her is ask for the levy statements. So what is the levies costing? Levies often can be a big shock to people when they buy, especially intersectional title. People don't realize them. She also went and got the financials of the body corporate. Very important. If you have a body corporate that where a whole lot of people are not paying levies, what lands up happening is that suddenly next year they have a massive levy increase to try and recoup some of those losses. So it's very important to understand what is going on in that body corporate. Is it a well-managed body corporate? And I also suggested to her that she go and get the AGM minutes from the last AGM, right? Because that annual general meeting, you'll pick up from the minutes if there's big issues brewing, if there's discontent, if there's a major baby. I promise you, if something's gone wrong in that complex, it'll be noted at that AGM by someone. So I would really do that as homework. So I think that is really part of also, especially in sectional title.
Yeah.
And I would also say if she's been living in the property, so she knows what's wrong with it, but it's also worth spending money on a home inspection. Someone who can check the roof, check the water, you know, the taps, all of those things that But people move in and they suddenly discover all the flaws.
Yeah. And normally those things happen once you're trying to settle in, 4 months later, and you've done all these expenses and now you have a roof leaking, for example. And another thing I think we forget is the city. What it costs also, because yes, you're paying for the complex itself, but also now you're paying to the city.
Exactly. There's rates. So you've got rates and taxes. Mm-hmm. So you've got your levy and your rates and your taxes. And people often don't realize that. They don't know that those are all the costs. And what you can do, and certainly my mom, by the way, we recently bought a property for my mom. You know, the estate agent gave her the breakdown. We asked for the breakdown of all of those costs. So I think that's really important as well. What are the rates and taxes that you are paying as well? And those are often, those can be separate from the levies. They are a separate item. Yes. So people see the levies and then
and they think that
they suddenly get a City of Joburg or City of Cape Town or whatever bill. And it's like, wait, I thought those were levies.
Exactly.
And they're not part of the levies. Exactly. So really important point as well.
Yeah. No, because I know it happened to us. I thought, oh, sorted. We know what the levies are. Then we got a bill from the city. And I was like, okay, now another bill.
But of course, the other thing though, Mapula, when buying a house, so we've talked about like, you know, you're now making the decision, is this the right property for you? You're looking at it all. But the other really big one is property transfer costs. Those upfront costs, they hit everyone. Most people, I tell you, do not know how much it costs to buy a house, the actual transactional costs.
Yeah. And for me, it's such a simple thing that when you go onto most of these websites, and I think some of the calculations you did, you use the NetBank website. And
or Uber. Uber is actually also very good.
And Property24, you are literally able to go in there and say, all right, I'm looking around R1 million. And I think that's what we focus on, that I have, I'm thinking around R1 million. I'm thinking about what it is that I'm going to pay every single month. But there are those costs, the lawyers, the transfer fees, like you're saying, and people, it just shocks people, and people end up going into debt.
They all take out a loan to put on their credit cards. It's probably one of the, when working with mentees, that's probably one of the most common expenses I see, is somebody's bought a house and they didn't know about those expenses and they put it on their credit card.
Yes.
And now they've got, I mean, just as an example with this particular mentee, I mean, her total bond registration costs are going to cost R60,000. Now, if you didn't know that and you're thinking, oh, I can afford this, suddenly you're getting a R60,000 bill, you've got to fund that somehow, right?
And nothing moves before you pay those fees.
Absolutely, nothing. And, you know, again, as I said, she really has planned this well because she has saved up money. So she has about R90,000, what I always call a war chest, right? When you go into buying property. So, and this was an interesting discussion, was we said, okay, so she can use that. Certainly she's going to be able to cover all the bond registration fees. And remember, there's actually three sets of costs. Mm-hmm. One is your bond registration, which is the bank charges you to register a bond over your property. Then there is the conveyancing fee, and that's what the lawyers charge. And those figures are usually very similar. So people think they've been double charged. Yes. I've noticed that. People say, but I've got two of a similar amount. It's two different sets of lawyers. There's the bank's lawyer, and then there's the conveyancing lawyer. In her case, because her property was worth less than $1.1 million, she didn't have transfer duty. But that can be an additional cost as well. Mm. So, you know, you can really start adding up quite a lot of costs if you, you know, when you put that all together. So in her case, she has some cash, so she doesn't have to borrow.
Yes.
But the next question was, should she put down a deposit? So remember, she's got 90,000. She's going to put down 60 to cover all those costs. That's leaving her with 30.
30,000.
But she knows that there's repairs that need to happen at the house. There's a door that needs fixing, and there's a couple of things. So she knows she needs a little bit of money for that. Fine. But if so, then we said, well, should you put down like a R20,000 deposit? But my concern was she leaves herself with no emergency fund. Mm. And as a homeowner, first year, you need sometimes a little bit of a leeway buffer, and a buffer. So, you know, we always say put a deposit down. But I said to her, you know what, go ask the banks for two quotes, one with a R20,000 deposit and one without. And if they're offering you the same deal, the same interest rate, then rather keep that R20,000 as, you know, as your sort of buffer. Mm. And you can always, when you get your bonus next year or whatever, accelerate your payments, find another way. So that was an interesting discussion. I don't know what you think.
No, 100%, Maya. And I've done that in another case where we were buying a car for my dad. We had a deposit And we asked for two quotes to say, if we were to put in the deposit, would the interest rate go lower? And we found out, no, if we didn't have a deposit, we didn't put a deposit, the interest rate became lower versus when we had a...
if you didn't put a deposit down, the interest rate was higher.
If we didn't put down a deposit, the interest rate was lower.
That is strange.
That is very strange.
Okay, but I would have double-checked that with the bank.
If you have a deposit, on the other hand, the interest rate just kind of remained higher. And so we decided, you know what, we're not going to put in the deposit. We took the lower interest rate, and a couple of months later, we put in that deposit that we had.
Mm. So I think it's really worth finding out. But I just want to go back to that car one, because I would have double checked whether that was correct or not, because the dealers don't want you to put a deposit down. Mm. So they will often tell you verbally that the interest
and
rate
not
will
in
be
writing.
And not in writing.
Yes.
So I would always ask for the actual quotes because I've seen that quite often. Because there's, from a bank's perspective, why would they offer you not, why would they not give you a discount on
when you
a deposit?
When you do have a deposit.
Because a deposit lowers the risk for them.
Yeah.
So I would, I'm a little suspicious of car dealers, I have to be honest.
But then I think when we are talking about property, I think you are essentially saying, make sure that you get different quotes. Mm. Make sure that you get your different options and take a look at them and say, all right, will I have a buffer? Does it make a difference? And go for the one that makes the most sense. Mm.
So that's exactly was our next discussion that, of course, was where do I go for my mortgage? She currently banks with Discovery.
Yes.
So do I just go to my own bank? I have seen so many times, and you've had exactly this, where you shop around and your bank doesn't offer you the best rate. Some other bank does. So absolutely shop around. I mean, 100%. You want to go and check with all the banks. And part of the reason for that is that banks have different risk profiles for different, they may have a high exposure to a specific segment, a specific property market, whatever it is, they all have different risk profiles at any one time. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what that is. And some banks may be really hungry right now for deals. So they may offer you, for example, to drop the bond registration costs if they want your loan. The other thing is they may say, if you move your banking to us, we'll give you a better deal. So it's really, she's right now, and I'm waiting to hear the outcome. She's right now speaking to all the banks. The one point that I did make to her is that because she's with Discovery, Discovery has this whole ecosystem where if you bank with Discovery and you have your life to cover and you are on Vitality, they give you rewards.
Yes.
So one of the things Discovery does is that if you have everything with them, they actually give you a better rate on your, they'll actually, if your Vitality status is a certain level and you meet other requirements, you'll get a further discount on your mortgage. And I said to her, that's fine, but make sure you're comparing the before reward interest rate. You know what I mean? Don't bank on your Vitality status always being that high because something can happen, something changes, and suddenly your interest rate goes back up again. So if Discovery comes in and it's as competitive as every other bank, then it makes sense for her to go with them. But if they're going to be a bit more expensive than another bank, don't use the Vitality status to bring it down. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Mm. And I always say, you know, don't be married to your bank.
Hmm.
If you are looking to make such a big purchase, definitely do shop around. Would you recommend using a bond originator, for example, Maya?
I certainly would. It's interesting. So I get all press releases from the bond originator saying, oh, we get so much better discounts for people. But it's them, right, giving me the press release. But the one day I was speaking to a conveyancer who said to me that in her experience, if somebody uses a bond originator, they are often getting a better deal, which was quite surprising to me. But that's the reality. I honestly, if you'd asked me logically, I would have thought, well, my bank, they can see my history. I mean, especially someone like this mentee who has her finances are in order. She's got a deposit. She's managing her money. She's really brilliant credit score. You would just think her own bank would say, we know you, we'll give you the best deal. But it's not always the case.
It's not always the case. And absolutely, I've also experienced it myself, where we used to bank with a specific bank and the interest rate that they were giving was much higher. And we went to another bank and it was lower.
Mm.
So we went for that. And let's just take a step back on, you know, we're talking about the costs. that normally it shocks people and sometimes they have to use their credit card. Do banks sometimes offer 100% the bond and perhaps maybe plus the cost as well? Does it sometimes happen?
So banks, especially for first-time homeowners, will offer 110% bond. Now, that is definitely preferable to going in. So if, say, this particular mentee didn't have the 60,000 rand to put down as registration costs, she could have then applied for 110% mortgage. And that is a far more efficient way than going and putting it on your credit card.
Yes, because of the interest rate.
The interest rate will be at prime. The only thing that I'd really encourage, and so what I've encouraged her as well, is that, look, I must be honest, the first year of home ownership, just for some reason, there are just so many costs. So it's probably difficult in your first year of home ownership to pay an extra every month into your mortgage. It's a difficult, you know, but certainly after the first year, once she's got her kind of her feet and knows what the living costs are, and of course you get, you know, your salary increase comes in, your bonuses and all the rest of it, that's a great opportunity to then increase it. So if we think about, in her particular case, it was 7,600 be her mortgage. So if she could pay in maybe an extra 700-800 rand a month, she could pay off her bond 4 years earlier. So, that is, you know, that stunning. Is a very powerful, just the, you know, what is 700-800 rand a month? Let's be honest. What's a pair of shoes, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's the misconception, because people always think, oh no, I have to pay it within the 20-year period that we agreed with the bank. But you can always pay your mortgage much, much earlier.
And you can do it with incremental amounts. You don't have to have suddenly a huge lump sum. You can just pay in that little extra couple of hundred, and it really, really, really makes a big difference.
100%. Mm. So what would you say in terms of, you know, someone who wants to buy a house right now? Let's just list the things. Mm. Number one, don't let it be an emotional decision. It's hard, though.
It is hard, but you've got to run your numbers first, because if you buy that house and you're suddenly drowning, then, you know, it becomes, you resent it, you're unhappy, you're trying to now exit something, you're now defaulting, you just don't want to go there. Look, Mapalo, to buy a house is a big impact. It has a huge impact on your budget. So yes, most of us are going to push ourselves, but it is about then making sure that you're cutting back on the unnecessary spending, that you know that you're going to have to tighten your belt at least in the first year or two whilst you adjust to it. So yeah, but still run the numbers. Yes. Make sure that you know about the registration costs. Mm. So easy to do. Go on to Uber, the Uber website, that's www.ba.co.za.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I use the NetBank website, you were saying.
Property 24.
Property 24. It's so easy. It's all there. You just type it in and it tells you.
Yeah.
So go find out what those numbers are as
100%.
Well. Levies,
City of Joburg.
City of Joburg.
And another thing that we forgot, interest rates rising. So you go in and the interest rate is what? 11.75, for example. And in the past couple of years, they had been rising and rising, because remember, people bought when interest rates were low. Also take that into consideration to say, will I be able to afford this property if interest rates go up?
Which, by the way, is why it's a really good time to buy now, because we're in a downward interest rate period. So if this particular mentee, if she buys the house today and interest rates go down again, she must maintain her monthly installment, because that's another way to pay off your bond quicker, because she can afford it. So she must stay like that. So that's another really, really good trick. And the other thing that, of course, we haven't mentioned, which we really should mention, given this is called Insure Your Future, is home insurance. Mm. So that's another number we had to put into her budget, was the cost of having, first of all, she had to have life cover to cover the mortgage, and property insurance. So that is another cost that you have to add in as well. So I think it's really important to sit down, think about all of those costs. It's not just the mortgage, it's the levies, it's the the city bills, it's the home insurance, there's maintenance costs, water, electricity, all of those things. So do your budget properly before you
100%, enter. Because home ownership should be a joy, and where you feel like, you know what, I have ticked off that milestone. You don't want it to be a prison.
Absolutely. And Mapalo, we've been talking about the biggest, most important purchase that any of us are ever going to make. But of course, in order to do that, we need to have a good credit score. And that is going to be our next discussion. We're going to be looking at healthy debt, unhealthy debt, how to improve your credit score. We're going to look at debt review. And we're going to have a very interesting guest on to join us just to help us unpack that. So make sure you tune in for the next episode of the Money Bootcamp.
Bye for now.